Today's first lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." We will speak Psalm 118 responsibly by verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now proclaim, his mercy endures forever.
This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter. The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Our second lesson comes from Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God is raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here ends the reading.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hallelujah. The children's message, if you'll come forward and we'll have a moment together. Great. I wanted to bring a chair to sit here and look at you this way, but I didn't. So many things were happening, and they still are. Good morning. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Almighty God, guide us in this time together, that the words that are spoken and how we listen are guided by your Spirit. So you were out hunting Easter eggs, right? How did it go?
Good.
I was watching. And have you had anything that was inside the eggs yet? Really? Wow. Did you? Okay. A lot of candy. Okay. Very good. Well, an egg is a symbol of Easter because new life comes from the egg, and that Easter egg hunt was an exciting moment for you to be involved in. I want to talk again about the cross I did last week, and I have something I'm going to share with you in a minute. But when we think of the cross, we think of the cross in two ways, on Easter especially. And this is Easter Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead. So one message of the cross is Jesus loves you. So whenever you see the cross, you can sing that hymn, reminding yourself of his love. He went on the cross, died, and loves us. The other message is Jesus' victory over death and the grave, so that he loves us through death and gives us new life. So the cross is a sign both of love and life. That's probably the best way to put it. Love and life. The life now that Jesus gives you and the new life he will give you. So I have some small crosses. They are made of olive wood. The olive wood comes from Palestine in Bethlehem and Jerusalem. All of these crosses were made of olive wood gathered by Palestinian Christians. So these are people that live in Israel. And they make these and send them here, and we are blessed to have them. So an olive tree grows in Israel, likes a warmer temperature. It's planted, it takes about 4 years to bear olives. Olive trees are mentioned in the Bible, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed there. There's olive trees there. It's an olive grove. Beautiful. And so we have these from olive wood. Each one, you're going to come up and take them in a minute. Each one is very different. The grain is different in each of these. This one is lovely on both sides. When you take it, pick it, and remember, in all our diversity, in all our uniqueness, in all our beauty, and in all the things we do well and sometimes not, Jesus loves us. So remember Jesus' love as you take this cross and the diversity, the gifts that you have. And when you take it, it can fit in your hand or in pocket, somewhere close. And whenever you look at it, be reminded of Jesus' love, Jesus' life given for you. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, of the risen Christ, and of the Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen. So please come up. The crosses are in the box. We could dump them, but how's it going to be easy to pick them? You can look around for a while. I can start a sermon, and don't forget, right, we do have children's church, so don't forget. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and true to the Holy Gospel, that we may be renewed, awakened, enlightened, transformed by the resurrection of Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is true that the resurrection of Christ calls forth the deepest realities of our faith and speaks to our deepest fears and sorrows. Whatever fears or sorrows or disappointments or challenges that are in our hearts or that we are dealing with, love triumphs over them. Easter stands as the chief cornerstone of our proclamation of God's enduring mercy, grace, forgiveness, and love, conquering death with that love. Awe and wonder are an appropriate reality for today, and in fact, every day. Awe and wonder like the women who went to the tomb, who were even frightened, it says. That awe and wonder speaks love to our fear. The resurrection of Christ comes to us as we live under the shroud that is cast over all people. As we read in Isaiah, the sheet that is spread over us in our experiences of disappointment or hatred or injustice or in violence or poverty, in loneliness or the desire for an eye for an eye, in betrayal and death, that shroud is over us. In Christ's resurrection, the shroud and the sheet are rolled back. The large stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. The one dressed in a white robe proclaims, Jesus is not here, but Jesus has been raised, and Jesus is going ahead of you. As the children carry those crosses, I hope they'll remember, as you will remember, Jesus is going ahead of us, with us, behind us. The salvation proclaimed in today's lesson, and most clearly seen in Christ's resurrection, is not only the end of death. Resurrection does not only represent an escape hatch from here into an afterlife. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation are founded in a sense of deliverance now, restoration now, wholeness now, healing now, present in our lives, bringing hope, peace, assurance, love, and life now, here, today, everywhere. The loving power that raised Jesus does not only promise us eternal life, and it does. We are also promised in the present all the possibilities that emerge from being forgiven, all the possibilities that emerge from grace through which we are being formed in faith, all the possibilities from the one who is going ahead of us, who has called us into this gift of life and offers each of us opportunities for service and sacrifice, for foot washing and for healing, for being present in community and in our neighborhood for the good of each other and all people. Those are our opportunities because of this resurrection of Christ. This proclamation lifts us and delivers us into a grace-filled awareness that Christ is present now. The Holy Spirit is stirring us now, and that creates a sense of awe and wonder now. We are delivered not only from life through death to new life, but we are also in a fuller life here and now. We are delivered from our lives into the lives of others, again, into community, into the places Christ calls us to share the gospel and to be the body of Christ in the world for all others and all people. In Mark 16, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome come to the tomb early on the first day of the week to anoint the body of Jesus. That was not a simple thing to do. That was a brave thing to do. And they wonder who will roll that stone away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It is three women who take the risk of going to the tomb as the sun is rising. It is three women, those three women, to whom the good news of Christ's resurrection is entrusted and first spoken. And they said nothing to anyone, according to verse 8. This seems shocking, but the most ancient manuscript of Mark's gospel ends with verse 8. I know you know there are other endings to Mark's gospel, which were added later. One is called the shorter ending. The other is called the longer ending. They're in your Bibles. Both of these endings speak of how the resurrection of Christ is actually shared beyond the moment when the women left in fear and awe. These additions feel to me like a kind of a correction for the idea that the women said nothing to anyone. They allowed the awe and wonder of what they saw and were feeling to speak and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't read fault into them ever. Read and see in them bravery and humility and the awe and wonder of the resurrection. We probably feel that awe and wonder when we stand over a casket as we say the words in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. We still feel that awe and wonder when we hear the hallelujah chorus sung as beautifully as we did. We feel that awe and wonder, just like the women who went into that tomb alone. I believe that original ending in verse 8 is excellent. I hear this ending as an invitation to be amazed, to be in holy fear and awe. For this is a fresh and startling proclamation. Even though you and I have heard it over and over again, this is a fresh and startling proclamation of love, alive, wherever we hear it. And when we allow those words to touch our hearts, our spirits, our bodies, and our minds, we are indeed renewed and reformed. And being renewed and reformed is sometimes challenging. We kind of like how we are. But the resurrection overwhelms us, renews and reforms us as the body of Christ in the world. I hope you will feel a sense of renewal that will rattle us out of any lethargy and rattle us out of any complacency. Being born, dying, and receiving new life in Christ is an amazing mystery, reveals our frailty, and it shows the deep depth of God's love for us. What we receive today is the all-embracing love of Christ, the love of Christ living and laboring in every moment, every place and circumstance. The love of Christ laboring and living in every act of love. Laboring and living in every beauty share. Laboring and living as we see the children before us or hear the choir sing. Laboring and living in every act of mercy and justice. In every kindness. In every struggle and hope. Raising human beings and all creation into the fullness of life. Not a halfway life, not a hanging on life, not a getting by life, but the fullness of life that Jesus Christ offers. The risen Christ is loose in the world. Be awake and alert, active even in people and places where Christ's name is not known. Active even where his name is not believed or loved or honored. Christ is active there. Present in the midst of violence, in Gaza or in Israel, in the Sudan or Ukraine or Yemen. Active in a bridge collapse where workers laboring at night perish. Present in gun violence, in terror attacks, in the desire for revenge, present always. We are called to work for that reconciliation, peace, and justice, for that is Christ's work. And Christ's resurrection places that work in our hands, in our bodies, in our feet, in our hearts, in every breath of our lives. We do not come here today to hear proofs or explanations. They are way beyond us. We come to hear that Christ calls us by name, loves us, has filled our hearts and heals our grief, removes regret and anxiety. In Christ's resurrection, the truth is that each moment is a special opportunity not to focus on the large stones only, because they are there. Good Lord, we know the large stones are there, and some of them are in our way. But to focus on where God is moving those stones, those rocks and those walls, to deliver us for service, to deliver us to bring peace into turmoil, to deliver us to bring Christ's love wherever there is hate or fear. We are delivered in Christ's resurrection to love and serve and bring reconciliation to all. And what we are celebrating is that indeed bringing love and reconciliation is abundant life now. We are the risen body of Christ in the world now, sharing Christ's love with all people. And that is awe-inspiring, true, challenging, good news. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.